something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, Maintain a Joyful Heart.
Hallelujah.
Did you ever feel like maybe a sense of frustration with a sense of urgency? And while you're there, you don't feel like laughing? And some fellow just comes laughing and looking happy? Get out of here. You've just knocked the joy out of you. Because you don't think that's the moment. You're having a frustration moment. See? And you like to protect it. Yeah. Have you ever seen people who love to, the love their trouble? They like it when some people are against them. And so they talk about it. They protect the problem. They keep talking about how they were mistreated by someone, and then the other one, and then the other one. Well, such is life. They feel like they're going through something, and they love it. They don't want to come out of it. They love to go through this persecution, as it were. And the feeling that they are alone and persecuted. And they don't have friends except you that they can talk to. You are the only one I can tell these things, you know. And you keep telling him or telling her, and she's just listening to your stories. Things just never get better. 3 weeks later, you're back again. It's the same story. It just never changes. And you are secretly happy to be going through this thing. Because if you're not going through it, you're not yourself. How many of you like trouble? You said, no, I don't like trouble. I don't really like trouble. But why do you preserve your trouble? Why do you preserve it? Why do you protect it? Why do you love it so much? I'll give you a simple example so you can know how you love trouble sometimes. Imagine that someone has offended you and you're waiting for that person to come and apologize. And then he's not coming to apologize. He's even acting as though he didn't do nothing wrong. Every day you see him, you're like, is it that he doesn't know what he did? Now, you are carrying the burden of this frustration, but you don't realize it. You are unhappy. But he's looking happy. Everything is normal with him, and you can't believe it. But you're still waiting for him to apologize. You might even get to the point where you begin to pray to God to knock him out and tell him to come and apologize to you. And he's not coming. You know you can have stomach ulcer because of that. It's true. You can have an ulcer because of that. Because the happier you see him, the more frustrated you are. Because you want to see him knocked out and sad? Now you know. Or he should come and apologize to the great you. Now, I tell you how to fix that. Instead of wasting days and weeks and months staying and remaining frustrated because of this, whatever it is, whatever you might want to call him, that refused to come to you to apologize And now you're unhappy. And it's affecting you everywhere. Maybe now you're coming late to work because of that. There are things you're supposed to do you can't do just because every time you're working, that thing goes through your mind. He still hasn't apologized. And then you stop your work. You're thinking, he's not there. He's just going through your mind. You've traveled in your mind back to the land of frustration. 2 hours gone. You're supposed to submit something. You haven't even started. Then suddenly you wake up and you come back to yourself. Suddenly you hear his voice quite close. You pack your things. You have closed. Because he has come close. Instead of doing that, why don't you just go and apologize and end it? You take the step. Go and apologize. You apologize. And when you apologize, the whole thing will come to an end. And you start living happy. You say, I should apologize. He offended me. I know he offended you. But you see, the thing is affecting you and is destroying your life. So why don't you bring it to an abrupt stop by going to him to say, I'm sorry about that. He will say, I thought I was the one that offended. No, I'm tired of keeping things like this. You'd find that you are the master of circumstances. So they will not dictate how you live. God needs you to be joyful for you to be successful. God needs you to be happy for you to be successful. You need it. You need it. A lady died of cancer. Why did she die of cancer? When the cancer started, and I was informed, I sent a message to her that she should stop worrying about her husband because, you know, she had so many things against her husband. You know, he was living wild. He was just, you know. I mean, if he did come to her Sunday service, it was a miracle. The pastor was happy. She was happy. Everybody was happy that he came. Then, of course, it'll be some weeks. So I sent a message to her. I said, you are in a greater problem than your husband. Let your husband go. In other words, stop holding these grudges against your husband because this is the reason for your cancer. No prayer can help you. What you need is to forgive and to forgive genuinely. Oh, she said she'll try it. Well, maybe she tried, but somehow he got worse and really misbehaved a little more. And she was frustrated. She got more angry. And the cancer got larger. Then I said, I don't think, if you don't forgive your husband, if you're going to keep this kind of feeling and hold your bitterness, this cancer will kill you. Because you've given it a home in your life. But what is God going to do about him? That was her anger. God's not going to do anything about him. God wants to do something about you. See, think about what God wants to do with your life. And stop worrying about him. If you stop worrying about him, God will be able to do something about him. But as long as you're worried about him, God can do nothing with your life. And then you create a home for Satan. Oh, she said, okay. Then she got healed. Then she got angry again, and the cancer came back. And when the cancer came back, her frustration just went wild. And the husband wasn't changing. And then she died of it. The cancer killed her. She didn't die of cancer because cancer was a great, great enemy. No, she died of cancer because she just wouldn't let the cancer go. The cancer was the unforgiveness that she had in her heart. Understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tool. It's a marvelous tool for your own happiness. When you give that forgiveness, okay? When you give it to someone else, you don't give it because, they were so wrong, or you were so right. It's got nothing to do with right and wrong. It's in your own interest. You forgive. Don't wait for them to apologize. Apology and repentance are not the same anyway. And just because somebody apologized to you doesn't mean he's repentant. If someone says, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean he has changed his way of thinking. He might still hold to the same opinion and do the same thing next time. So apology is not repentance.
The Leveled Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Leveled Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Leveled Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
Have you ever wondered, what if your voice could reach nations? What if your language, your podcast, your church could be heard on a global level? Introducing Go Loud with SeaTunes, a global campaign to amplify voices, reach nations, and change lives. Through SeaTunes, the all-in-one gospel radio platform for every language, every nation, and every soul. Whether you're a translator, an influencer, or just passionate about spreading the gospel, there's a space for you. Choose your path. Go loud in your language. Translate ministry content into your local dialect or language. Go loud beyond church walls. Own a radio church on SeaTunes and let your church be heard across nations. Go loud and global. Broadcast your outreach or crusade to the nations. Go loud with your voice. Launch your own podcast or become a SeaTunes host. Register at www.seatunes.org/go loud. Download the SeaTunes app today.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy New Benin Group, 23, Ebeya Street, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays 8 a.m., Wednesdays 5 p.m. For inquiries or to share your testimony, kindly call us at +234-706-060-3228 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. This is the continuation of the message, Maintain a Joyful Heart.
Hallelujah.
You know, in our country, apology is a currency. And I tell people, don't use apology as a currency. Ah, but I've apologized. They think that they have bought the forgiveness with apology. But I've apologized, haven't I? I said I'm sorry. Have I not said it? So they think that once they have presented that apology, they ought to get their money's worth. You get it, you know. the apology or to get for them whatever it is they wanted. He came late. And I said, I'm sorry. And the man says, no, you're not entering. Sorry now. Because he's surprised. After saying sorry. Because to him, his apology is a currency. He has presented the currency for purchase. So give me my commodity. I paid. In Europe, when you say you are sorry, you go back. I'm very sorry for coming late. I will make sure I don't do that next time. You go. In Nigeria, you say, I'm sorry, then you wait. I said, I'm sorry. You are still waiting. Say you are sorry and go. See, but we've been raised to think that apology is a currency. We are wrong. See, growing up wrong. That's why sometimes we don't know when we've done something wrong. We are not even sure. And when we're punished for doing something wrong, we think that other person who is punishing us is too strict, he's harsh, he's wicked. The man says, the gate is locked. You are supposed to come at 8. Sorry, you can't enter. Very wicked man. You see, that's their response. Very wicked man. That's in Nigeria. You're not allowed to do your job. It's a wicked man. Because he took actions against you. Even the judge in the court of law, when the judge has passed the sentence, the family members of the accused say, wicked man. Can you imagine what he said? Wicked man. Gave him life imprisonment. Wicked. They don't see the law. They see the judge as a person. If they could beg him there, they would. But the lawyer says, you can't talk. I talk for you. Say, Trying to get the judge's attention. See, it's a society. We've been raised that way. And it's so terribly wrong. So wrong. We have to change our way of thinking. So Jesus said to her, one thing is needed. One thing is needful. One thing is necessary, and Mary has gotten it, and it will not be taken away from her. What is this one thing? Well, the Bible says that Mary was sitting at the feet of the Master, listening to his teaching, listening to his word. She was listening to the Master. She was in the presence of the Master, listening to him. What food do you want to prepare, Martha? He fed 5,000 men. The women and the children were not counted. He fed them with a little boy's lunch. Why don't you sit at his feet and let him fix the food for you? She wants to impress him. Ask the disciples where Jesus got fish from. They were fishing. And he said, children, do you have any? No, we haven't caught anything. He said, cast your net on the other side of the boat and you shall find. And they did it. They enclosed a multitude of fishes. John said to Peter, it's the Master. They got out of the water. And then he said, bring some of the fish you caught. And they went to Jesus and found him preparing fish. They met him preparing fish. And he said, bring some of those ones. Because he wanted them to compare them. The miracle fish from his word and the one from the water. How will you impress the creator of the universe? What do you want to do to impress him? Even our prayer has become work. If you're not sweating, you don't think he has heard you. Then when you are now sweating, you think, yes. You know, we can't even pray to God simply anymore. If you haven't lost your voice in prayer, you don't think you've started. Can we impress him that way? No. No. So why are you suffering when you should be enjoying your life? You know, some people, they say that, don't put all your effort in your work. Find some time to go to the beach or go to the cinema or take a walk or go window shopping. All of those things don't necessarily bring you joy. You can have joy in anything. You don't have to wait till Saturday and say, no, my Saturday is reserved for me. It's my special day of cooling off. Off what? Off your frustration of Monday to Friday. You see, such people don't enjoy their lives when they can actually enjoy every moment. Enjoy every day of their lives. And be happy about what you do. Take pleasure in yourself. Relish the moment. Right? Yeah. Yesterday we read it, that he gives us richly all things to enjoy. You enjoy them, enjoy those things. This thing that you wore, did you have time to look at it in the mirror? And said, Lord, thank you for this shirt. Wow, this looks nice. Did you have time to appreciate yourself? Then when you come to work and nobody sees what you are wearing, say, they don't even know what I'm wearing. But you didn't see it yourself. You didn't even see it. You didn't see it. So start learning to enjoy your life.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
You need the Holy Spirit to be able to serve God as He wants you to. You need the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you in the will of God for your life. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you things of the kingdom of God. See? And when you learn these things of the kingdom, at every appropriate occasion, when you need to be reminded of something you need to know, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. See, He's the one that the Father sent to guide us through life and make us successful and victorious in everything. If you listen to Him, He'll make you a champion, a victor, a success, if you listen to him. And that's what you have to learn to do. Practice listening to him. So first, receive him into you. Receive him to come and live in your heart, to live inside you. You'd find that you can talk to God in a heavenly language. That is so important.
Because now you can speak a language that's pure, with words that are pure, given to you by God from your spirit. And those words go up to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, everyone needs to have the Holy Spirit. It's got nothing to do with your church denomination. It's possible for you to have been in a church all your life and never heard that you needed to receive the Holy Spirit. It's possible, but that doesn't mean you don't need Him. If Jesus needed to have the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't you? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would you think you can live without Him? No, you can't. You need Him. So you say, Pastor Chris, what do I do to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to give you just a simple instruction. You receive the Holy Spirit in the same simple way that you received Christ Jesus into your heart. You simply believed, and He opened your heart by faith to receive Him. That's all you do. You receive Him into your heart by faith. You say, Lord, I receive to receive Him. That's all you do. You receive Him into your heart by faith. You say, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit into my heart to live in me from this day. When you say that, believe that He heard you. He wants to come into you and live in you far more than you desire Him. So when you give Him that permission and that invitation to come in, He wouldn't waste any time. As you say it, He'll enter into you. And for many of you, immediately you begin speaking in a heavenly language. You begin saying words that you don't know the meaning, because they're not in your normal human language. But don't stop. Once those words bubble up, don't stop. Just keep speaking them. Just keep speaking. Thank you, Lord.
Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy New Benin Group, 23, Ibeya Street, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays 8 a.m., Wednesdays 5 p.m. For inquiries or to share your testimony, kindly call us at +234-706-060-3228 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.